Welcome to Face to Face. Face to Face is an in-depth look at the life and career of a popular sports figure from a Christian perspective. Now, here's your host of Face to Face, Tom Rust.
All right, thank you very much, and welcome back again to Face to Face. We're glad to have you with us, and hope that you enjoy our interview today. We're talking baseball again today, and we're talking with a minor leaguer, a guy who has still got his future out ahead of him, I think. He's going to be a major league player someday, and I always have fun talking to these minor league players because they are so full of hope. And the guy that's going to be with us today is Kelson Brown. He is... he's listed as a second baseman for the Indianapolis Indians, and he's in the Pittsburgh Pirates organization. He's kind of come up through the Pirates organization, but he can play anywhere, and that's the type of guy that you think is going to get to the majors because he is versatile. And we had a chance to sit in an Indianapolis Indians dugout not long ago and talk to Kelson, not just to talk about baseball, but to talk about his life. It's the life of a minor leaguer can be very stressful, particularly with Kelson because he's a young married man and he comes out of California, Southern California, a long way from home. And he also, of course, has Jesus Christ at the center of his life, and God is in control of his life and his career. But we thought you'd enjoy hearing the talk that we had with the young man Kelson Brown from La Cañada, California, and he's a member of the Pittsburgh Pirates organization. We'll take a break and be back, and you'll hear this interview right here on Face to Face. So don't go away. You're listening to Face to Face. All right, welcome back to Face to Face. Glad to have you with us. And today we're talking to another potential Major League Baseball player in Kelson Brown. He's the second baseman with the in the Pittsburgh Pirates organization playing for Indy right now. And Kelson, thanks for being a part of Face to Face.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
You're kind of a blue-collar player, I think. When I checked out your stats, you play everywhere. You come out every day, and you got a lot of different gloves, don't you? You can do a lot of different things.
Absolutely. I learned early on in my career that versatility is a big part of my game. And coaches can count on me to play multiple positions. So I've played third base, shortstop, second base, first base, left field, right field, and I've even pitched two innings in my pro career. So I do it all.
Kind of a Craig Biggio type player, that can start out as a catcher, went to second base, went to the outfield, do it all. Tell me about your pitching experience. I understand you threw a scoreless inning. Where was that at?
That was actually at Charlotte. We're going to go there in a couple days, actually. But, we were losing by 10 runs or so, and they needed a pitcher to go out there and throw. So I was, our manager, Dean Trainer, asked me, and he said, "Can you go?" And I said, "Yeah." And he's like, "Don't get injured." I said, "Well," and I was just lobbing in there, I think 80 to 84 miles per hour, but I got through it.
When you're pitching like that, you just go out there and you're not worried so much about throwing sliders, or you just kind of look at the glove and say, "I hope I can hit the glove," right?
Absolutely. I actually, when I was warming up, our bullpen catcher was like, "You got any off speed?" And I said, "I'm not throwing any breaking balls. I'm just going to throw changeups and fastballs. I don't want to hurt myself." So,
yeah, it's been a while for you to get to AAA, to get to Indianapolis. You spent 3 years in Altoona, AA, and 2012, 13, and 14. That had to be a little frustrating, being that close to getting up here and yet not having this chance.
Yeah, it was, especially since I was moved really quickly through my first 2 years of my career. I started in short season A and then skipped low A and went straight to high A. And then my next year I went straight to double A in my second full season, which is pretty good. But yeah, I sort of got stuck there. There was a year where I really struggled in 2013 that sort of hurt my chances of moving up. But I bounced back nicely in 2014, and I was blessed with the opportunity to come to AAA.
Have you had a chance to play with the big club in spring training? I know you have not made your major league debut yet, but have you had a chance to play in Bradenton?
I have. I've had four. I have an appearance in the last 4 years, and this spring training, I actually played the most innings I'd played. I played, I think, six or seven innings defensively, and had two at bats. And my first year up there in 2012, I actually got a game-winning hit. So, you know, every time I'm up there, it's a real cool opportunity. And to be with the big leaguers, it really helps a young player to succeed.
And you're not that far. When you get to this level and you get to the majors, you're not really that far away, are you? It's really not that much different when you get to the majors. Did you find that out when you took your at-bats?
Absolutely. It's the same game. I think sometimes we tend to make it seem like everything's bigger and better, but it's the same game. And this year was actually the first year where I felt the most comfortable because I knew a lot of the guys, I knew a lot of the coaches, and they threw me in there at third base, and I felt like, you know, one of the big leaguers. And I got to face David Price today this year, and I flew out to deep right, and I felt like, you know, hey, I can do this.
Yeah, no doubt about it. When you faced David Price, was he like anything that you'd ever faced in the minors?
You know, I mean, he was good, but nothing surprised me. I mean, I've seen, you know, hard fastballs, I've seen lefties throw hard, I've seen good breaking balls before, so I had the adrenaline and I had the great focus of being in the big leagues, and I felt like I competed well.
Now, you've played all the different positions. What position do you like to play the best? They got you listed at second.
That's a good question. It's been such a long time since I've had a position. Honestly, my favorite position is being in the lineup card because every position has its great finalities to it. Every position's a challenge in its own way, and I look forward to that challenge, whichever one it is.
You've had quite a challenge. You came out of Division III, Linfield, Oregon.
Yes.
And tell us a little bit about that. And you came from, I'm going to get this right, La Cañada, California. That's Southern California,
yes.
I assume.
Southern.
And you ended up playing for Division III, Linfield, Oregon. Tell us a little bit about Linfield, Oregon. What size school is it? Where's it at?
Well, it's a small liberal arts college in McMinnville, Oregon, which is about 50 miles south of Portland. I actually really had no idea about it when I was looking for colleges, and schools in California weren't that interested. And my uncle went to a school called George Fox in mm-hmm. Oregon, which is the Linfield rival. So I decided to go up there and just check it out. And it's actually a funny story. When we were driving up to Linfield, because we were just checking around schools in the area, my dad goes, okay, the head coach is Scott Carnahan and the assistant coach is Scott Brocious. And I was like, the Scott Brocious?
Yeah.
From the New York Yankees? And he's like, I don't know, maybe. And we walked in and there's like a monument to him and there's a Yankee jersey hanging on the wall. And I was like, wow. And then I opened the door and he was the first to shake my hand and I was sort of in shock. And he's the most humble, down-to-earth guy, and he seemed to really care about me, and I love the school, and it's a good academic school, and it was just a perfect match.
Yeah, and as I recall, Scott Brocious, a believer, a Christian
yes.
man, and played on a team, on the Yankees team, when they won the World Series, and they had a lot of different Christians, so that had to be not only an interesting time for you baseball-wise, but also spiritually to be playing for a guy like Scott Brocious.
It really was, and I wasn't as spiritual in college as I am now. But he was a guy that, when I look back at it, was really a strong influence in me becoming a Christian, just by the way he handled himself. And when I look back at the principles he instilled with the team, and you know, the way he handled and the relationships he's continued to have over the years, it's really drawn me towards God.
Now, you were kind of a slow starter at Linfield. I saw where you were having kind of average time, and then your senior year, you really broke out, set all kinds of records, hit over 400. Did you expect that there would be a draft, your name in the draft when you came out that way?
Gosh, I mean, I had one heck of a a journey at Linfield. You know, I came in being from Southern California thinking that, hey, it's only Division III. I feel like I can make an immediate impact here. And I was humbled right off the bat. We had some really good infielders at the time, and there wasn't a spot for me. So I had a pretty good arm, so they tried pitching me a little bit, but I maybe got like 7 innings my first 2 years on the mound. And my junior year was the first year where I actually started playing regularly at shortstop, and it was pretty much by default because we had our upperclassmen leave. And I got off to a really hot start, and then I hurt my back and missed the entire second half of the year. So I'm sitting there going into my senior year thinking that I want to be a professional ball player, but I don't even have 100 at-bats at Division III. And I sort of was like, what am I going to do? Like I was just at shock. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to dedicate myself to this. This is what I want. This is what I've always thought I could do. And that summer of 2009, I really just fully committed to baseball and every aspect of it. Became a team leader. Roomed with a lot of guys in certain circumstances, situations that were seniors and wanted to be pro ball players. And it just sort of was a magical year. Everything seemed to work out great for me. And then I was drafted, and it was
34th round, I believe, of the
34th round.
34th round of the Pirates.
Yeah.
Our guest is Kelson Brown. He plays everywhere in the Pittsburgh Pirates organization, playing for Indianapolis right now. He plays every position. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about Kelson's journey and his faith journey. So don't go away. You're listening to Face to Face. Welcome back to Face to Face. Our guest is Kelson Brown, who I've just been watching out there. And I know you're on the DL right now, but I've been watching you out there. You're looking pretty strong. Looks like you can play about anywhere. You feeling good right now?
I'm feeling great. The circumstances of me being on the DL, I understand. We've got a lot of guys, a lot of talent for a first-place team. But one thing about being on the DL is you have to stay sharp, and you've got to practice the same every day. And some days it's tough because you're not going to play that day, but having a positive and strong mentality really helps me in times like this.
Now, what is your role, or what do you do after the game? You're on the DL, so you're not going to play. Are you in the dugout keeping charts, or do you get dressed? What's your role?
I get dressed everything except for cleats. I just wear flats, but I like to stay involved with the team. I've got my high fives with all the guys. I try to keep people positive. Occasionally I'll do some hitting charts to give our hitting coach a little breather. But, it's a good opportunity for me to learn the game from a different vantage point. And I feel like I've done a pretty good job of that. And I think that I'm well respected in that sense, where I can, see things and talk to some of the players and they'll respect my opinion on some stuff.
I know one of the things that has to help you is the fact that you have Jesus Christ in your life.
Absolutely.
Tell us a little bit about your faith journey. How did you come to know Jesus Christ?
Well, I didn't grow up in a particularly Christian household. We'd go to church twice a year, Christmas, Easter. My parents both work for the Jet Propulsion Laboratory in California, which is the NASA branch. Hmm. So they're both, very into science and there wasn't much spirituality in our household, but I've always felt like I've been drawn to it in my own way. And wasn't until pro ball where I sort of fell flat on my face. Everything was sort of handed to me, as we talked about earlier. I had such an amazing senior year, and I just sort of like became, I don't know, miserable. There was things that happened to me where I just didn't feel like I had the ability to cope well with failure, and I really started trying to find something else. And there's a group of baseball chaplains that would come to each of the stadiums on Sunday, and there was a good group of players that I had who were believers too that I got to see, and was really drawn to it. And I feel like that's the start.
You were playing low A. You were playing for the State College Spikes, I believe.
Yes.
And that's got to be a small crowds, I know, or sometimes they get good crowds, but it's a long way, and it's got to be frustrating many times. And you say that Baseball Chapel is the one, and there were some baseball players. I know that when you're on a team like that, when you're on a team where you pretty much rely on each other because you don't get a lot of the same support that you would, there are a lot of players that can help you out. Are there any players that come to mind that really kind of helped you through in those early days of your faith journey?
Yeah, absolutely. I think having a strong community of faith is very key for someone to, you know, build a solid relationship with God. And the two players that come to mind are Duke Welker, who actually was a big leaguer briefly and played for Indianapolis. He really took me under his shoulder and introduced me to some sermons, and we would really talk and discuss the Bible. And the biggest was probably Aaron Probanek. I think he reached as high as double A, and he was unbelievable. Just nonstop attention to God, and pushed me, and we would stay up nights discussing and really getting to the bottom of it. And he was one of the more genuine people I know, so he was really big in that.
I know you, when you had something like this and you go back and you talk to your parents and your friends and it's all really different to them, how'd they respond to you?
Well, it's, I feel like my parents and a lot of my friends have actually slowly started to come to Christ, which, you know, bless God for that. But I think they've really noticed a change in me and a change in how I react to failure, how I react to certain situations, that they're like, that's a really peaceful way of doing things. And just similarly to the way I came to Christ, I think that they're slowly seeing that. And I've had a lot of discussions with my mom and my dad about Jesus, and they've actually turned to a marriage counseling group in La Cañada through the church, and it's made wonders for them, and I'm really happy about that.
I know also you got married.
Yes.
I believe you did. And this has got to be a tough life when you're married.
Oh, yes.
Your wife has to be very patient. Your wife, I assume, is with you here in Indianapolis.
Yes. Well, currently she's in Los Angeles. But Amanda has been literally the most important person in my life. She's a strong believer, and I couldn't even tell you how hard it is for her to be a baseball player's wife with the travel and with just the ups and downs, me being on the disabled list and not making a lot of money. And it's hard to plan for the future. And she's been an unreal support for me. And it's and I you know, put God behind all of that, because without, you know, a strong faith, I mean, there's no way we could get through it the way we do.
What's your hope for the future? You've done well, and this year has been kind of a down year for you because of being on the DL. But what's your hope for the future? You're not that far away from playing at PNC Park, and you feel confident that you'll get there?
Absolutely. There's no doubt in my mind I feel like I can be a Pittsburgh Pirate ball player, and that's what's keeping me going. I found that a lot of looking ahead doesn't really do me much good. Really staying in the moment where my feet are, and being the best player I can be regardless of the circumstance, has really kept me in a strong position and ready to go when I'm called upon. And there's a lot of things that are out of my hands and out of my control, but there are some things in my control. And I know if God wants me in PNC, he's going to put me there. And I'm at peace with that.
I know that's an incredible thing that I find from a lot of Christian ball players, the fact you realize that God's in control of your life. You control what you can control, and then the rest of it you have to kind of leave to God. And it's just recently, I know that you had a chance to speak at Faith Night.
Yes.
Here at Indianapolis with a band. What was the band that was?
Josh Wilson.
Josh Wilson Band, or Josh Wilson. And you had a chance to stand before a number of people and to talk about Jesus Christ. What was that like for you?
It was nerve-wracking. I've never done that before. I was asked by my manager to do it, Dean Traynor, because he sees me as a strong believer. And, you know, I really felt called to do it. There was actually a situation where another player wanted to do it too, and I could have stepped away. But I really felt like I was called to, you know, speak, and it was an uncomfortable position for me because I've never really been a good public speaker, but I thought it was great. You know,
did you feel the peace of the Holy Spirit come upon you when you did that?
Yes. Well, it's I sort of draw a parallel to baseball, because in baseball, one of the prayers I do before games is, regardless of if I succeed or fail, the glory goes to you, God. And I know you want me to be exactly where I am, and I know that whether I succeed or fail, that's what you would want from me. And that's, there's so much peace in that. So going to speak, I know that God had me there, and that whatever I said, God wanted me to say, and I felt such a comfort in that, and I hope that some people may have been affected.
I know you too. You've been affected by ballplayers, Christian ballplayers. Yes. Now you're in a position to where you're in a clubhouse that at times can be rather rowdy and can include some yes. certain things. Do you feel like that God has put you here to have an influence on maybe some guys that are looking for answers?
You know, I don't know, but there definitely been a lot of circumstances where I've had a chance to grow in faith with some of my teammates, and I think that, I mean, obviously that's the most important thing, and if that's what God wants me to do here playing baseball, then I am more than willing to do it. And one thing I've learned is that there's no cookie cutter way of being a Christian, and there's a lot of people that come from different backgrounds, different cultures, and there are a lot of different ways of worshiping God. And so I've learned a lot from a lot of the guys, and I'm sure they've learned a lot from me, and it's all in an attempt to grow more in God, and I'm thankful for that.
Kelson Brown, it's been great having a chance to talk to you, have a chance to watch you play. Is there a favorite verse that we can close with today? You have anything in your mind that stands out to you?
Well, the one that's been big for me right now is Phil 1:21, for me to live as Christ and to die as gain. I draw a parallel with that in baseball. Obviously, you're not dying when you fail, but sometimes you feel like you want to. But it puts things in perspective for me that, you know, this is a fun game, but it's not the whole sole purpose of life, and that glorifying God is. And for me, that's big to take a sort of take a step back from baseball and to really think about that one.
Kelson, thanks again for being a part of Face to Face. It's really been inspiring talking to you, and good luck in the future.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
All right. Kelson Brown with the Pittsburgh Pirates organization playing for Indianapolis right now. We'll take a break and be back. You're listening to Face to Face. Welcome back to Face to Face. Great to be talking to Kelson Brown. You know, one of the ministries of Face to Face is the fact that we stay in touch with these guys. We pray for them. We give them some encouragement by text or email, and we let them know that not only does God care about them, but we as a Christian community care about them. And I've had players tell me that the encouragement that they get from those texts and from those emails and from those prayers of other people really do mean a lot, because quite honestly, most of the times when they're in a clubhouse, they're in a very pagan clubhouse. And one of the things that we're finding more and more is that Christian ball players are not the rarity, but the non-Christian ball players are really involved in some very tough stuff, some things that really provide quite a challenge to the Christian ball players. So whenever we get a chance to talk to Kelson Brown, whether we're doing it as an interview or whether we're doing it just as a time of encouragement, Kelson and guys like him really enjoy it. And I'll tell you what, one of the things that you can do that really means a lot is to pray for these guys. And when you come to a game, particularly if you're going to a game like the Indianapolis Indians and you see Kelson's name in the lineup, just say a little prayer. Just pray for them, because they appreciate that, and we know that God hears that prayer. Well, hey, if you'd like to know more about Face to Face, we invite you to check out our website. Our website is at facetofaceradio.com. Facetofaceradio.com. Just click on, and you'll see some of the exciting things that we have there, and we also some of the past interviews that we have had, and give you a chance to hear how God is working in the sports world, and he certainly is working in a number of different ways in all different kinds of sports. I've heard that it's not only basketball, football, baseball, but he's also in hockey, and we try to bring you different athletes as much as we can, so I hope that you'll check that out. Well, as we close today, We want to take you to the Psalms 105:4, and this is an encouragement to me, and I hope it's an encouragement to you. A short verse, and it says this: look to the Lord and his strength, seek his face always. That's the 105th Psalm and the 4th verse. Look to the Lord and his strength, seek his face always. No matter what you're doing, you may not be involved in a sport, but you may be involved in some sort of life situation which is kind of bringing you down, or where you just need some encouragement, you can find that encouragement through that verse. Look to the Lord in his strength. Seek his face always. That's about it for us. We look forward to having you back next week. We'll have another Christian athlete. Till then, this is Tom Russ saying, remember this, no matter where you go, no matter what you do, be a good sport. Goodbye.
You've been listening to Face with Tom Rust. For a free copy of today's program or for more information, please write to Face to Face Ministries, P.O. Box 125, Columbus, Indiana 47202. Or call Face to Face Ministries at 812-376-3000. Or toll free at 1-800-479-0952. You can also find us on the web at face2faceradio.com. Join us again next week as Tom Rust goes face to face. We'll